The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Mark Slater in the studio. We have flat racing from Brighton, we have National Hunt action from Worcester domestically, and we also have a good card over in Ireland from the Curragh as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is commentator Gary Capewell. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, good, thank you, Mark. Yeah, it's pretty low-key Sunday in terms of the English racing, isn't it? But there's some good stuff over in Ireland, particularly at the Curragh and the Irish Cambridgeshire, even though it just sounds odd just saying, doesn't it?
How do you have a Cambridgeshire in Ireland?
Hmm.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. That's the feature race over there, and a good supporting card too.
Yeah.
No real huge stars on show, but a good card nonetheless. It's a bit awkward. This, obviously, they've got the big Champions Day, Irish Champions yep. Day, in the coming up fairly shortly. So, in terms of quality, I think, as we've seen with the British racing this week, it's not perhaps as strong on the back of a big meeting, and leading up to the big Ledger meeting as well, of course, where there's plenty of racing to look forward to. So, unfortunately, it's the bits in between that tend to suffer. But in Ireland, I think it's holding up a little bit better, albeit obviously they don't have as much racing as we do.
Okay. Well, that kind of comes into it because Gary's picked out two races at the Curragh, so we'll get his thoughts on those later on, and one from Worcester as well. Before we get there, though, Gary, let's chat about a bit of news. The campaign to stop Newcastle getting rid of the flat course seems to be gathering a bit of momentum. What do you make of that?
It all seems a bit odd, really, and it just seems on timing, considering they knew when this was happening, all the trainers, and you looked at the stats of Sir Michael Stout moaning and quite a lot of the Newmarket trainers moaning, and yet they'd only had, I think, something like 15 winners between those four trainers at Newcastle in the last 5 years. It all seemed a bit strange. I take their point in the fact that it's another turf track gone, but it just seemed a little bit strange from my point of view, the timing of it all. They wanted to complain, they should have complained before that. I mean, it seems a bit odd because they know they're going to get fixtures on, I think, in either next year or the year after. Just seems a little bit bit strange that it would happen, that they would complain about it now, and particularly considering the well-respected trainers that have complained about it. Seems a little bit strange.
Yeah,
the timing of it all.
I suppose it does. And then add into the mix that Kattrick have announced their all-weather ambitions. I mean, by the sounds of it, a lot of people would be happier if Kattrick became an all-weather course and they kept the turf at Newcastle.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit... I mean, the track at Newcastle is obviously a lot wider. The track is a lot bigger in terms of the circumference as well. It would make more sense. Having said that, the straight mile at Newcastle is going to be something again, something new, something different, isn't it? Kattrick probably wants it, but it'd take a lot of work. It's quite hilly, not hilly, but it's not level, it's not flat. There's plenty of ups and downs on the track. It would take a lot of work to level it off, I would imagine.
Hmm.
Obviously, they've got the space for it, and it's a little bit closer to the main sort of training centres, I guess, in the north. The likes of your Midlands and Midlands very close, isn't it?
Yeah.
And your Maltons, they're not a million miles away. They're certainly closer than Newcastle, but the north obviously does need an all-weather track. But it's going to be interesting to see if all these get the go-ahead out of the fixture this works with regards to how they space them out, because obviously at the moment you've got Kempton every Wednesday during the winter, Wolverhampton almost every Thursday, Friday. Kempton have the odd Thursday, Friday too, and they share the Saturdays as well, don't they? Wolverhampton probably has a little bit more. So It'd be interesting to see once they all get the go, because they will do. I've no doubt that they will do. So it's going to be interesting to see how the slice of the pie is shared, so to speak, because obviously quite a lot of the... And obviously with Chelmsford as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, them and Kempton are down in the south. You've got Wolverhampton more in the Midlands. Obviously, north, there's likely to be two under the lights. It's going to be interesting. It wouldn't surprise me in the dim and distant future if we have certainly Tuesday night racing under the lights, whether they would become twilights or proper evening cards. But then again, they're all twilights now once the clocks go back the Wednesday, Thursday nights, aren't they? But yeah, on Saturday. So weather takes the job at the BHA, it's got a lot of sorting to do.
Yeah, it's all a little bit confusing at the moment, so I suggest we watch this space, see what happens with that. Let's talk about some racehorses and racing people rather than tracks then. Kingman, they've left the Prix de Moulin as a chance for him to run again before the QE2.
Just remind me when that is.
It is fortnight tomorrow.
Okay, so that would still give him enough time.
Or fortnight today, as this goes up.
Fortnight today, of course, yeah. That would still give him enough time, wouldn't it, to... Because he backed up quite quickly in the... Prejean Le Mans, was it?
Yeah, that was 18 days after the...
That was 18 days after the Sussex, so the distance... the distance between them wouldn't be an issue, but you would worry about him on perhaps the ground, depending on what the ground is.
Mm. I think the plan is just in case they need a run before Ascot. Just it's there just in case.
Yeah, I think a run before Ascot wouldn't be a bad idea. He's had what, 1, 2, 3, 4 runs now this year, has he?
5, I think. He's got 4 Group Ones, and he was
of course in the green and
Guineas wanted him place.
Yeah, of course he won the Irish as well. So yes, yeah, 5 runs. It's nice to see him being campaigned fairly well, but some of those races haven't been particularly hard races. I know there's nothing to say for Group 1s, albeit on the ground that he didn't really particularly like, I don't think, last time out he won. But, he you know, as with the Sussex, he wasn't fully stretched to do so. But I suppose there's only so many times you can go to the well. But if they think he needs a run, then he's going to need a run.
I think it's just shrewd planning, isn't it? Just in case.
Yeah, I think it's always good to have a plan B.
Mm.
And particularly when the QE2... is obviously staged now, it's more likely to be staged on ground, slightly on the soft side, isn't it? Which I suppose for him would be a concern, but obviously that's the plan.
Yep. Bit more news as well, just one more story to touch on before we move on. Just to mention that Brian Toomey has had his tests, trying to get his licence back, and being a friend of the show, it'd be good to see him back in the saddle.
Yeah, friend of the show would be nice. Obviously it was horrific what happened to him. At Perth, I think there's still probably a long, long way to go. We'd often seen with some of these jockeys coming back from bad injuries, all the tests, and rightly so, all the vigorous testing that they have to go through, because we don't want to endanger them, particularly with what happened to Brian. Obviously, I'm sure, you know, horses are his life, as we've spoken to him on and off air. We know how passionate he is about the sport. But I personally would suggest that he's probably a lot longer away from a recovery than he, A, would like to be, and B, probably realises, I think. But we wish him all the best, and it would be fantastic to see him back in the saddle. But I think there's probably still a long way to go.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. We wish him all the best. Let's move on. Let's move on to Sunday's racing. Gary's picked out 3 races for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday. Gary's picked out 1 race from Worcester for us, and a couple in the Curragh, starting at Worcester in the 210, which is a novice's chase over the extended 2 miles. And Gary Capewell, you should be ashamed of yourself here. 3 runners.
This is one to just to boost those ackers for tomorrow.
Okay, right. Orthinger and Fairy in the Wind, I imagine, are going to be the two that will be prominent in the betting. Vinny the Fish probably has something to find, I think it's fair to say. How do you see it going, Gary?
Yeah, there's only two you can really consider, and Fairy in the Wind's been running in handicap company with limited success. I think his mark of 120, a bit mythical if I'm honest.
And the fact that he jumped right at Newton Abbott isn't going to bode too well for his chances around Worcester, I don't think. But anyway, all thing, it has to be this election. Tony Martin has gone to the trouble of A, bringing this horse over here, and B, booking Tony McCoy. This horse won at Down Royal earlier in the season on quick ground, so conditions aren't really going to be a problem for him. And he was slightly... He ran okay last time. He was beaten a fair way, actually, at Killarney. But that wasn't in a bad little race. In the van of Willie Mullins is pretty useful. Certainly a lot better than, with the greatest of respect, Fairy in the Wind. He was beaten a fair way behind those, but he wasn't knocked about when his chance had gone. AP McCoy takes the ride. I just think he'll be too good. So he's one to boost those accas. On the forecast I've got in front of me now, they're forecasting 4-5. We'd love a bit of 4-5.
Fair enough. I suppose all will be forgiven should he win at around 4-5. But
I won't be napping him, let's put it that way. But yeah.
Good. Thankfully, we get more competitive from here on out. The 3.35 in the Curragh is where we go next, and this is the Dance Design Filly Stakes, which is a Group 3 for fillies over a mile and one furlong. It's for three-year-olds and older, and 11 of them in the lineup here. And I suppose we should start, really, with Carla Bianca here. Gary arrives here on the back of a hat-trick, and she's in fine form at the moment.
Yeah, she went on my tracker during the winter. I think, I'm sure she ran at Dundalk, or she went on the track for some reason. I'm pretty sure she did run at Dundalk. But anyway, she managed to win at Navan 3 runs ago. Then she won at Nace in listed company. And then she won at Gorham Park last time out, again in listed company, beating Alive Alive O, who reopposes this afternoon. But she continues to progress at a rapid rate of knots. Dermot Weld has a couple in the race, including in the same colour as Afternoon Sunlight, who's actually higher rated than Carla Bianca. But Smolin goes for Carla Bianca, and it's not hard to see why. She's got the look of a very improving three-year-old filly. And those are horses that I very much like to keep on the right side of. She's easily the best of the three-year-olds, I think, albeit Palace has got bits and pieces of decent form, but was actually beaten. Was a bit disappointing at Leopardstown on its most recent run. That set up in ship slide will actually help her. Alive Alive O, I think, ran in this race last year. I'll have to check that, but anyway, she was second, as I was saying, behind Carla Bianca last time out. One of the better of the older horses, but there's only two older horses I think you can consider. Odalise has actually entered to run at Sandown on Saturday, so we'll see if she runs today as we record this, whether she takes up that engagement. I napped her when she was second on the opening day of the Flaxlands, the Curragh, behind a Dermot Weld horse. I can't remember the name of the horse, but it ran in the Collard Abdullah Silks. And the other one would be Pearl of Africa, who hasn't been seen for a while, since running on the Irish, I think the Irish Derby card, or the Irish Oaks card, one of the two, in a Group 1 race here behind Thistlebird over a furlong slightly further than this. But before that, she'd managed to win a race, and she's one of the higher rated horses in this race as well. So Odalise and Pearl of Africa are the best of the older horses, but I'll be disappointed if Carla Bianca can't land the four-timer, albeit she's up to group company. But the way that she's been running of late, I think she'll be able to take the rising grade in her stride.
Okay, fair enough. Alive Alive O, if she's an each-way price, I would be a little bit interested in her, because she had quite a big reputation, but the ground was never... It was always too quick for her, so she kept getting pulled out. I mean, she must have had that reputation for a reason, and last time was a signal that she might be going back the right way again, so... I'd keep
I'm not sure what the ground is there, actually. Didn't give it on my... screen, unfortunately, but yeah, no. It's worth keeping an eye on her, depending on what the ground is, obviously.
Yeah. On to the 4.35 next, the big race at the Curragh on Sunday. It's the Irish Cambridgeshire, which is a premier handicap for three-year-olds and older, over a mile, plenty of them in the lineup here, 21 of them. So talk us through the ones on your shortlist, Gary.
It's a pretty long shortlist, if I'm honest. Captain Joy comes back down to handicap company. He's got a good high draw, can see plenty of use being made of him. Burn the Boats won a small runner race at Navan, but has got good previous course and distance, certainly course form anyways. The previous winner here at the track was the winner here at the big, I think it was the Rockingham handicap, I want to say, but anyway, that was on Irish Derby Day last year. That was over 6 or 6.5 furlongs. Shrator has been very consistent. It's like finishing second. It's been second on its last 6 runs. I think the most recent of those came at Galway. It came behind Hassanor, who has subsequently won since, actually won here on his most recent outing. He's actually going to be the selection. He's another horse that's been on my tracker for a while. another, again, another horse that had been running at Dundalk during the winter. But something just seems to have clicked the last twice. Won at Galway beating Tretor and then followed up here as the £5 higher mark. Got a nice high draw in 11 and continues to progress by the looks of things. Obviously, it has taken a little bit of a while for the penny to drop, but the penny has dropped, and he's a horse that I very much want to keep on the right side of. There's plenty of others in with chances. Jim Bold has got a strong hand. Maggie Dalton, who won impressively at Limerick on its seasonal debut, and then finished fourth behind Sheunan here last time out. Vastani is a regular in these type of races. Ran at Galway recently, and more recently, finished fourth fortnight ago behind Panama Hat at Dundalk. Canary Row is another horse that is a regular in these type of events. There's a couple of three-year-olds that are worth mentioning. Sophie's World takes a bit of a step up in grade, but did win at Galway last time out. And the other two, Warbird, who hasn't been seen for a while, wonder whether this has been the target for a little bit, was behind Red Rocks Point at Goran on its most recent out. And the other one is Max Mascoon. He's been on the go of late for... He's been on the go for quite some time. Actually, Fint went off favourite in that race, which Vastanea won at Galway. Oh, that was one of the big handicaps. I think that was the Topaz Mile. So there's plenty in with chances, but I do like Hassanor. I still think he is improving, and I still think he may well be one step ahead of the handicapper. So he gets the vote in the Irish Cambridgeshire at 4:35.
Okay. Good stuff. Let's just have a quick summary then, Gary, if you'll spin us through your thoughts for Sunday one more time.
Yep, in the 2:10 at Worcester, Orthinga, one for the Ackers. In the 3:35, the Group 3 for fillies, Carla Bianca to land the four-timer. And in the 4:35 at the Curragh, the Irish Cambridgeshire will go for the hat-trick, Sea King Hassanor.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Gary.
Pleasure.
Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you, we'll do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gary Capewell on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it here on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and Mark Slater in the studio. We have racing on the flat at Brighton and over jumps at Worcester domestically. There's also a couple of meetings over in Ireland, including this card in the Curragh, which features the Irish Cambridgeshire and a couple of Group 3s and a listed race. So good stuff to come on Sunday. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.